to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Second Chronicles chapter 7. Would you turn there? And I wanna preach up to it, and I wanna preach around it. I kinda wanna end with the latter part of what he just read here this morning. Second Chronicles in chapter 7. You know the situation here. It's about a great need in Israel. By the way, the temple was finally built. David wanted to build the temple. If you go back a chapter into chapter 6, it says in verse 7, "Now it was in the heart of David, my father, to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel." You ought to want to do things for God, by the way. If you're born again, you ought to have a real desire in your heart to please God. It says in verse 8, it says, "But the Lord said to David, my father, for as much as it was in thine heart to build an house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart." But what God says is, David, you're not going to build it. You can provide some of the materials, you start to gather it, but you're not going to build it. Verse 7, "Notwithstanding, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son," that's Solomon, "but thy son which shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house for thy name," for my name. The temple's finally built. I mean, it's a big thing. And I just know that not a one of us here understand how big this was. The temple, the first temple, the tabernacle was good. The temple, the nation Israel, and the people of God wanted to build a permanent place for the name of God. This temple was glorious. You say, "Oh yeah, I've seen fancy buildings." No, no, you don't understand. 20 ton of gold went into this temple. I did the research. I went to experts. And I found out that to build the temple with 21st century U.S. dollars would cost $174 billion to build the temple. Oh, this was a beautiful place. The Ark of the Covenant was going to rest there. Shekinah glory was going to rest there. It was to be the headquarters for Old Testament Israel. All of the nations would come and worship there. Sacrifices would be performed there on a regular basis. The temple is finally finished. Now there's going to be a prayer of dedication. And this is Solomon that prays. Let's begin reading in verse 1 of 2 Chronicles and chapter 7. And again, $174 billion. You say, "That's what a waste." God deserves the best that I have. The very best. Not my own. I mean, I'm not to accrue things for my own wealth here in this world. That really isn't what it's about. It really is. It is more than a byword, more than a cliche. Jesus first. He is to overwhelm in my life. We read this morning in Colossians, it's so clear. Only in him we're complete. Only in him is the fullness of the Godhead found. Only in him is there peace and purpose and happiness. Only in Jesus, and not a byword. Not just coming, "Oh, I go to church on Sunday, Jesus first." That's not it. He's to be overwhelmingly first place in all my thoughts, in all of my doings, and all of the events of my life. It is to be Jesus Christ first. And anything less than that, we need revival. And that's America today. We are in desperate need of revival. We got all kinds of pretend churches. Little Christianettes listening to little sermonettes, smoking their little cigarettes and driving around in their Corvettes and, you know, just playing games. That's all it is. Just playing games. I'm up to here with people. "Oh, yeah, I'm born again. Oh, yeah, I'm a Baptist." But you never see them in church. They're never there. There's no faithfulness. Jesus Christ first. We need revival. Let's get into verse 1. It says, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house." Man, the priests couldn't even get in because the glory of God was so bright and so real and so powerful. Verse 3 says, "And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good and for his mercy endureth forever." I'm here to say, my God is good and my God's mercy endureth forever. The fire came down and the people got on their faces before God. I'm reminded of that old story. I read it a long time ago where a local atheist lived in a specific town, and the church house caught on fire. And everybody got out there. It was the middle of the night, and they got out, and they're watching the church house burn. And the old preacher that was there watching the church house burn looked over, and he saw the atheist. He said, "Man, I've never seen, first time I've seen you in church." And the man replied by saying, "It's the first time I've seen the church on fire." That's the truth. There's a whole county of 38,000, I don't know what the most recent number is, I got it, 38,033 people going to hell. I mean the vast majority going to hell. And we play church. Shame on us, that's right. We need revival. Verse 4 says, "Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord." And King Solomon, here's the sacrifice. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen. 22,000 oxen. And 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. 120,000 sheep. There was so much sacrifice going on and so much worship going on. They had to do a little extension right away. Verse 6 says, "And the priests waited on their offices, and the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord." David had prepared these things because his mercy endureth forever. Hey, there's the theme over and over again. God's mercy endureth forever. Because his mercy endureth forever when David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Man, there was music, there was singing, there was laughter, and they lifted their voices in song unto God. You know, we had some empty chairs in the choir this morning because some people are too busy to be in the choir. We got about 50 songs, I counted them, that the choir sings. I know for some, you think, man, it's the same songs over and over. No, we add to them periodically. But we got 50 songs. And you got visitors coming in. They've never heard of one of them. And for a choir to be good, we need to practice. Doesn't God deserve our best? And at 5:30, we have choir practice. And for some, it's just the farthest thing from their mind. That choir number, and if that's as good as we can do, that's fine with God. That's pleasing to God. But if it's slipshod, that's not pleasing to God. And God deserves our best. And here there was singing. There was sacrificing. There was singing. The theme, of course, was the mercy of God. Verse 7, that's the theme of Fundamental Baptist Church too. The mercy of God. What do we have outside the mercy of God? We've got nothing. It's God's mercy. It's God's grace, or I have nothing at all. Neither do you. Verse 7 says, "Moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord. For there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat." There wasn't enough room. So he had to extend the place where the sacrificing was going on. That's pleasing to God. I believe we ought to be a growing ministry, constantly growing. Never give up on anybody, by the way. Ron Kiesler, I text him every day this week to tell him, because I know he's down there by himself in Milwaukee at the Veterans Hospital for that knee replacement. Ron came to the Lord years and years ago when we were way back in the Tin Tabernacle, and I baptized him. I told some of you the story, and he was faithful to God for a while. And Beth's here this morning, and then kind of fell away from God. Never saw him again. I don't know what he was doing with his life. Never saw him again. He shows up again about a month or so ago, or maybe a couple months ago, and he hasn't missed a Sunday morning and Sunday night service since. You never give up on anybody. I texted him yesterday, "Ron, praying for you today." He said, "God bless you, Pastor. I'm praying for you too, and praying the church will grow." You never give up on anybody. That's the mercy of God. That's the grace of God. Had to add on. Man, we got some building to do here. That's why we're going to the two services. We want to fill up and have a second congregation. But I got to just get this out of my craw this morning. This was weighted me down the whole time I was praying this morning right here at the altar. This little connector building back here, if we had $20,000, we could enclose that thing and then just kind of go as we went. And we've got a little bit of money. We got some that was designated to that. But $20,000. Maybe you're here this morning and you could do that. I've never said this before. Why don't you write a check for $20,000 and let us get that done? I'm serious. I'm not begging for money. I'm just saying God just might be asking for your best this morning. And nobody here has to feel guilty. I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on you. Just know the mind of God. Because we've got to put on some bathrooms out here too, and a new nursery. There's some things we got to do. We got to keep moving ahead. We'll build this second congregation, this early morning service. But in the meantime, the building time is only so long here in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. We all know that, right? We just got a short window to get things done. And we got camp things going on. So we can't mess around here. If God lays that on your heart, you see me about that, would you please? I'm waiting for God just to kind of provide the way there. Verse 8 says, in verse 8 of chapter 7, it says, also at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, and a very great congregation from the entering in of Hamath under the river Egypt. The people were everywhere. There wasn't enough room. And this is what I like about the Jews. They kept this feast 7 days. They knew how to do things right. It's a 7-day feast, and the 8th day they had a solemn assembly. This is all about God. Man, the fire has come down. You know, 120,000 sheep, 22,000 oxen, all kinds of sacrificing, the singing, the music, the preaching and the reading of God's word. What a wonderful time that must have been. Great revival is about to break out. Verse 9 says, and on the 8th day they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. There was rejoicing. This joy in God's people at this service is a precursor to heaven. We are going to rejoice, and we are going to laugh, and we are going to worship, and we're going to hug, and we're going to sing in God's heaven. What a time that's going to be. Happiest people on earth, the happiest people in this county ought to be right here at Fundamental Baptist Church. Hospitality. That's one of the requirements to be a pastor, to be hospitable. You can't be a pastor if you don't have that going on in your life. You think you can serve God without hospitality? You think it's just going to be your four or no more? Man, reach out to people. And it's got to constantly be developed. Every Sunday, find visitors. Every Sunday. And fall all over them with the love of Christ. Let them know you are glad that they're here in the church house this morning. And you want to see them come back. That's hospitality. God's people, Solomon's servants, were known for their joy. For their happiness. The Queen of Sheba came and said, man, the joy of the doorkeepers, the joy of your servants, it's infectious. It's amazing. It's heaven sent. In this world in which we are living, I don't mean anything fake. Nobody here has to be an actor. You walk with God, and it's all over you. You got a chip on your shoulder, you're not walking with God. Good luck walking in the flesh. Not a lot of fun. But you walk with God, man, this is a great feast. God's people are happy. This joy is infectious. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord, verse 11, and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord, and in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I've heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. Now here's the problem. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. And by the way, in America today, it's a spiritual drought. In America today, the locusts have devoured the land. There is a spiritual pestilence from coast to coast, north to south, and east to west. And everybody does that which is right in their own eyes. And people flock to others that want to be involved in the same sin that they're involved in. And they set the Bible aside. God says when that happens, Solomon, when that happens in Israel, and sometimes it comes by the hand of God, that famine, that pestilence. When that happens, I'll make you a promise, Solomon. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If my people, that's Christians. Fast forward to the year 2016. It's people that are born again. You're in church houses. If my people, which are called by my name, little Christs, Christians, will humble themselves. It's not a time to be proud. What do you got to be proud about? You should see my car. It'll rust out. You should see my home, my carpet. Well, it's wonderful. Nobody ever gets to walk on it. That's wonderful. Nice museum. How about that hospitality? The Bible says, where there is no ox, the crib is clean. I know, everything's getting wore out around here. Praise God. Isn't that good? The pews are getting wore out. Some of them are a little soft in spots. I suggest some of you heavy people move to a different spot, all right? What do you got to be proud about? None of us. We got nothing to be proud about. Proudest people on earth right now are in church houses. We think we're somebody when we're nothing. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Pray. The normal Christian life. The normal Christian life gets regular, daily answers to prayer. You walk with God, you talk with God, and he answers you. Every day. Every day. So he doesn't answer my prayers. Maybe you're not praying. Maybe you're not a child of God. If you are a child of God, you're not praying. I mean, pray for everything. God answers those prayers. It's amazing. It's amazing how God works. I don't know what God has all in store for the future here at Fundamental Baptist Church, but I got it. Another full congregation. That's what I know that much. And God will bless as we go along. I know that much as well. When pestilence comes, when times of famine come, and there's a need for revival of my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Isaiah 44:22. Turn over to that, would you please? Isaiah 44:22. I got to speed this up just a little bit. Isaiah chapter 44. It's in my Old Testament, I know that. 44, verse 22. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. God's word never returns void, and I'm sure that verse was read for someone here this morning that needs to return unto God. You've been redeemed? Return unto him. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven and forgive their sin. Acts chapter 3. Peter's preaching. Acts in chapter 3. Verse 19. Acts in chapter 3 and verse 19. I hunger. When you got it, turn, look right back up this way once you got it. I hunger for God. I thirst for revival. Chippewa County has become such a burden on my shoulders. It's the last thing I think about when I go to bed at night. We've got to reach this county for Christ. I long for the people of this county to know Jesus, the Jesus that I know. To have forgiveness of sins. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Acts chapter 3 verse 19, Peter said, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Revival. Revival. I was reminded this week of someone by way of texting of the Welsh revival. 100,000 Welshmen came to Christ in that revival. Without modern day technology, that revival shook the world. And it's still being felt. It spilled over into Scotland, over into England. Down in the dark coal mines of the Welsh people, when they used to be cursing in the darkness, it turned to praising God. And you could hear Welshmen singing the praises of Christ deep in the earth. Evan Roberts and Seth Joshua were the two men that God used to set that tinder to burning. It said that Evan Roberts prayed from 1 o'clock in the morning to 5 o'clock every morning. Seth Joshua was a simple man in love with Jesus. Man, it spread all over the country. What if that happened in our county? What if the whole eastern end were to be set ablaze with the gospel of Jesus Christ? What if it spread to the far reaches of the Upper Peninsula? What if it got to Detroit? And a whole state, in our union of states, a whole state became a Bible Belt. Say, that'll never happen. Not with you. Not if that's your attitude. Take your Bibles and turn to Ezekiel in chapter 33. Ezekiel 33. Don't even turn there. Go back to 2 Chronicles. I've only got so much time. And Ezekiel 33, we're to ask of God, and he'll show us great and mighty things. Things that are beyond our imagination. God in heaven will deliver. God in heaven will answer. God requires his people to be humble, to pray, to look to God, and to forsake sin, to give it up, to turn our back on it. Look at verse 15, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. God is waiting. Everything we need for revival was given to the church in the day of Pentecost. And then the scriptures were complete, and the canon was finished. Holy writ is finished. It's done. We've got it. We've got all of it. 66 books that make up the canon, the holy scriptures. We've got God the Holy Spirit. God's ordained. God ordered the local church. Here we are. Sinners saved by grace. We got everything that's needed except us. And according to verse 15, God is waiting. Revival. We got our Tom Farrell meetings in a couple of weeks. It can happen. He doesn't have a magic bullet. Revival isn't a canned substance where he's going to get here and open it up and then let everybody eat. That's not how it works. God is looking for people to set on fire in these last days of the church. And it may not happen with your neighbor, but it can happen with you in your home. Don't be left out. There's so much more to preach here. Let me just read verse 16. For I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, he's talking to Solomon, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments. Old time religion is a God-honoring, Bible-obeying, holy life. He said, Solomon, if you'll do just like your father before you did, or your father before you did in obeying the scriptures, if you'll do that, verse 18 says, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But If you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go on and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by. So he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers that brought them out of the land of Egypt. America has forsaken the God of our fathers. The average church is a little toy model of what it's supposed to be. And the people sit in the pews and play religion. 22,000 oxen. That's a bloodbath. In 7 days. 120,000 sheep. That kind of worship, that wasn't their salvation. That kind of worship costs something. In the Old Testament Israel economy, if you were to worship God, you were to find a lamb from your flock or an oxen from your flock was the best you had. Unblemished. The best. Not the cripple. The best. And you brought it for sacrifice. And if you were a poor family and you couldn't afford that, you purchased something from somewhere else. Or you could even bring a turtle dove. If that's the best you got, that's good enough with God. And that animal was sacrificed. And they worshiped God. And it was a picture of their faith. And when that blood was shed, that was a picture on the Day of Atonement of the blood atonement. A picture of the coming Son of God. The coming Son of God that would shed his blood and die for all of the world of every generation. And he came. And he shed his blood. He went to the grave. And he rose again on the third day. And he's a living God. And he don't require some sacrifice now. That's not how it's done through the blood of bulls and goats, book of Hebrews, but by Jesus Christ. And I worship the same God as my Old Testament brethren worshiped. And I bring him the best that I have. The best that I have. By the way, those sacrifices that were brought, that was on top of the tithe. The tithe was God's. They brought the sacrifice. Ever think about that? If you're coming to church on Sunday and putting your tithe in the plate and you think you're serving God, you're wrong. That's just the beginning. Everything I have, I owe to God. My family, my health, my life, the automobiles I drive, the air that I breathe, my home in heaven, grace, mercy, I owe it all to God. And if there's ever going to be revival in my life, he's going to get the best that I have to offer.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.